Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on.
Welcome, friends, to another midnight meeting on the Sawdust Trail. You've tuned in to the Semi-Seminarian, where the songs are sacred, the memories are holy ground, and the gospel still comes crackling through the static. Now, tonight's episode, well, it might just feel like eavesdropping on a man's private funeral toast, but what you're really hearing is a kind of confession wrapped in laughter, drenched in delusion, and delivered with a Cheshire grin. We're diving into Charlie Robinson's The Preacher, a dark, swaggering tune full of theological misfires and emotional half-truths. It's the story of a man trying to offload his guilt, not through grace, but through burial, believing that if the one who knew his sins was dead, maybe the sins died too. It's funny till it ain't. And tonight, we're going to listen close, not to mock it, but to learn from it. Because underneath the twisted logic and the barroom bravado is something deeply human, longing for release, fear of being known, and desperate attempt to escape the long shadow of shame. There's a better way. And that way doesn't lead to a hole, it leads to God. So grab a cup, take a seat, and let's walk this broken gospel down to its roots. And I'll see you on the other side. So Charlie begins the song by saying this: "Well, I threw myself a party. It was just the other day. My wife wasn't there, but my old buddies were, because somebody was going away." Now listen close, because this is lyrical sleight of hand. You think the narrator is the one going away. In a way, he is. He's emotionally detaching, numbing out. The real someone leaving town is the preacher. Why? Because he's dead. And the narrator throwing a party is not out of grief, but out of twisted relief. The man, the preacher, who knew his secrets, the one he had confessed to, the only one who could really name his sin, that man is about to be put in the ground. "Well, I've lived in this town for a lifetime, and I've sinned from beginning to Z. It's not repentance, that's a resume. It's a boast dressed up like confession, but there's no sorrow in it, just a sense that he's endured. And now maybe he has earned his right to finally be left alone." And the preacher at our congregation, he knew just how to get into me. See, this preacher wasn't just some distant mouthpiece. He knew the man, maybe through counseling, maybe over coffee, maybe through honest, gut-spilling confession in a back office on a Tuesday afternoon. Maybe just through sharp, spirit-driven preaching, and that's exactly why the narrator feels both exposed and weirdly tethered. Because somebody saw him. Somebody knows the truth. And that kind of knowing, it's both holy and terrifying. "Well, he'd stand there so high on his pulpit, and I knew when he talked of my soul." You ever sat through a sermon where you swore the preacher had been reading your mail, or maybe your browser history, or maybe the text you sent at 2 a.m.? That's this line. The preacher's not condemning him out of spite. He's naming what's broken. And naming something in love is different than shaming it. But the narrator never receives it in that way. Instead of grace, he hears threats. And that mishearing, that's a theological error. That preacher, he died there with all of my lies. And here, friends, is the theological heart of the song. The preacher didn't just die. He took the narrator's sins with him. Or so the narrator believes. He thinks the sins are now gone because the man who heard them is now gone. But that's not forgiveness. That's concealment.
Concealed sin doesn't heal. It haunts. And my sins went with him when they put him in the hole. This chorus is the narrator's altar call. Not to Jesus, but to the grave. It's a funeral gospel, salvation by silence. If the only person who knew what you did is dead, then maybe you get to pretend like it never happened. But friends, the gospel doesn't deal in pretend. Hebrews 9 and 26 says, Christ has appeared once for all the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, not death by preacher, not by secrecy, but by the open, suffering love of Christ. Well, he drove a Ford Fiesta. What the hell kind of car is that? And now we laugh, but the laughter is defensive. The preacher's now been reduced to a punchline, his authority mocked, his image deflated. Because if you can turn the messenger into a joke, maybe you can dodge the message. He'd drive around here trying to flush out a queer, a man that had run over his cat. And this is where the satire cuts both ways. Maybe the preacher had his own hangups. You know what? Maybe he did misuse his pulpit or misplace his passion. But again, we're hearing this through the filter of the guilty. Projection, distortion, blame shifting. The age-old dance. Discredit the truth teller so you can live with the lie. But his heart couldn't take all the pressure trying to find what I already know. This one cuts deep. The preacher wasn't hunting mysteries. He was carrying burdens. He was trying to name what the narrator already knew in his bones. Sin isn't always about rebellion. Sometimes it's about the ache of knowing you've done wrong and not knowing what to do with it. And my face has gone piously Cheshire. That's the grant of someone who thinks they got away with it. Piety was performance. And now with the preacher gone, he smiles like a cat with feathers on his breath. But guilt doesn't die with the one who knew it. It burrows deeper. And each repetition of the chorus is another liturgy of denial. He's preaching to himself now, trying to convince himself that somehow that funeral had set him free. Well, the new preacher, he is a young man, and he don't speak as much from the book. A different kind of preacher, gentler, maybe less rooted, and to the narrator, less dangerous. The word doesn't cut as deep when it's used less often. And my wife, she doesn't like that about him, but he makes up for that with his looks. And now the gaze shifts. She's watching the man in the pulpit, not for truth, but for distraction. And the narrator sees it and lets it fester and grow. So she stares up at him every Sunday, and in her eyes, I can see all the lust. It's an indictment, but it's also a mirror, because he broke that trust first. She's just staring into the vacancy somehow he left behind. He admits as such, but I guess that I can't be complaining, because it was me that had broken our trust. So here's the crack, a real admission. But instead of repenting, he redirects. So hope she lives long or gets lucky, and he passes before she gets old. This is the climax of his twisted theology, because if her preacher dies, then her guilt dies too. And by extension, his guilt over everything might finally go quiet. It's desperate, it's dark, and it's the most honest thing he said yet. Now he universalizes the error. Our sins go with him when he goes into the hole, but that's not the gospel. That's magical thinking. That's graveyard superstition. Let's say it plain. Sin isn't erased when we bear the one who witnessed it. Sin is forgiven when we bring it into the light before a living God who already knows and still chooses mercy. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not if your preacher dies. if we confess. The good news is not that the one who saw your shame is now gone. It's that the one who sees it all bore it on the cross and offers you freedom, not from memory, but from condemnation. The gospel doesn't say your sins went with the preacher. The gospel says, surely he has borne our griefs and carries our sorrows. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's from Isaiah. That him is not the preacher. It's not your pastor. It's not the one you told in secret. It's God.
So, what does the preacher teach us? That hiding sin doesn't remove guilt. Bearing the messenger won't cancel the message. But the only death that can carry our sins is the one that ends in resurrection. But more than that, it teaches us something pastoral, that bad theology often grows in the soil of real pain, and even satire, even absurdity is telling the truth about something. Span's gospel is broken, yes, but his ache is certainly familiar. He wants to be free. He wants to be clean. He just doesn't know how. And that's where we come in. Not with judgment, but with a better story. Not to argue, but to invite. But listen, theology in three chords isn't always an altar call. Sometimes it's a mirror. Sometimes it's a warning. Sometimes it's just holding someone's mistaken gospel up to the light, whispering, you don't have to believe that kind of stuff anymore, because there's a better way. So if you've been thinking your sins died with the one who knew them, listen close. They didn't. But you know what? Neither did they win. There is a preacher who died with your sins, not because he overheard them, but because he bore them. Not in a shallow grave under an East Texas sky, but on a cross between two thieves, and he didn't stay dead. That's where real forgiveness lives. Not in the forgetting, not in the burial, but in the resurrection. So if you're tired of carrying the weight, tired of pretending the hole set you free, stop, breathe, because you've been seen, you're known, and grace is still on the dial. I'll see you next time. Let's see it.